Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. I tell you, we are on the beach today, and we are literally praying because the actual, for the first time in 44 days, the actual oil is within 7 miles of these shores. And literally, it was fun. We saw a lot of preachers last night. The pastors in town got together and went out on a boat just to pray. And I'm a firm believer miracles can still happen, and we're trying to protect the actual economy from Louisiana to, could go all the way to the other side of Florida, depending on what happens here. But, man, if you're out there, just keep everybody in your prayers, because the economic impact, forget about the ecology just for a second, just the economic impact this can have on families across the Gulf Coast is devastating. And what a lot of people don't realize is on June 1st, hurricane season started. And if we were to have any type of a hurricane, any type of a tropical storm right now, there is so much oil in the Gulf of Mexico that it literally would be drug inland hundreds of miles. And like some hurricanes that grow to be very big, it could literally be drug across the United States and end up in New York. So this could devastate everybody. So pray. Just pray for things like that. You know, I believe that nature takes its course, but we've got to keep looking up. We are using Dondi Scamacci's book, Career Moves, How to Plan for Success, Create Value for Your Organization, and Make Yourself Indispensable, no matter where you work. And today we're on Chapter 3, Inside Moves, Moving Sideways or Backwards to Get Ahead. Now, this is going to be an interesting chapter, because I'll probably throw a book or two in here that you should get that would really help you understand this even deeper as we move forward. But one thing that I think is very unique in this writing style that Dondi does in this book is that this whole book has her nuggets of wisdom in it, but she starts and ends each chapter with a story about Zoe and Elena. And I just, this story is good. And we haven't covered a lot of the story itself because I want you guys to go out there and buy this book. But if you remember right in the beginning, Zoe had lost her job, and Elena was passionate about helping her find a new self, find something that could work for her, go out there and really make it happen. And it's been fun as we've gone through here to see how Dondi interacts and puts this in. And at the end of the last chapter, Zoe had just gone to her first networking meeting. And when Dondi opens this chapter, she's talking about the fact that instead of sitting there looking in the classified ads, she's actually sitting here writing thank you notes and to the women that she met at the networking group. And I want to throw something in here. If you're in sales, I don't care if it's network marketing, direct sales, you work for a pharmaceutical company, a copier company, or you sell tires. When you hear no, when you hear yes, man, you should take time to send a little thank you note to people. And just thank them. Say, hey, thank you for your business, or thank you for being open and honest with me and letting me know we can't do business right now, but please keep me in mind in the future. This is a tidbit that has brought me a long, long ways as I've moved forward. And I like the way she puts this in here. But she talks about something here that I think is very awesome. She talks about reinvent the job that you have to get what you want. Now, this could be, maybe it's an attitude change, I don't know, but I want you to think about this. How can you reinvent the job that you have to get what you want? Dondi writes, do you believe in intervention, or reinvention, not intervention, but reinvention? How would you go about reinventing your job? Now, that's a great question. I suggest writing it down. How would you go about reinventing your job? See, sometimes it's not a matter of changing companies, changing teams. Sometimes it's just a matter of changing your position, not even your title. You got to look at where you're at and what you're doing and how you're going. And Dondi uses three stories in here. The first one's about Carol, who was a bank teller. And she was a great bank teller, but she wasn't on the corporate radar to go up the corporate ladder. She had her career goals, and she admits most of them were financial. She wanting to get ahead in life. But after she started looking around and meeting with some of her colleagues and started checking out what their positions were about, she realized that there were some pretty cool things about the bank she was working for. And she started looking at her actual business associates, those people, those colleagues that she was dealing with. She started looking at them as partners. So she started saying, I wonder what I can do. And what happened is she fell in love with lending. And she started seeing what it was about, and she was fascinated with the process. So the next thing you know, as a teller, and this is how Adandi writes this, as a teller, I was in the perfect position to notice ways to serve the customer more completely. My business partners taught me what to look for and what to make and what makes up the qualities of a good sales lead. Wow, now think about this. If you're in network marketing, you're always looking for leads. You're always wanting something. Here is a young lady who was a bank teller. She was working with the lending department, looking at them as partners, and all of a sudden she became a live lead source for them, and they taught her what a quality lead looks like. But now listen to this. This is the cool part, and this is where Dondi ties in, change your position, not your title. Listen to this. In her company, tellers weren't eligible for credit training, but that didn't stop Carla. She bought a textbook on consumer lending and signed up for an evening tax preparation course. There she learned how to read tax returns. Carla states, the information is out there if you're willing to get it. I made myself eligible for training. If I wanted to make myself eligible for training, I needed to achieve my goals. I thought about that. I thought, wow, man, this is great. She says, something else happened too. Through this process, I created a new group of peers. My business partners stopped seeing me as a teller. I became a colleague, a valuable resource. My title hasn't changed at that point, but I was in a new position. See, sometimes we get ourselves all strung out here on what's our title, what's our position, we're at the bottom of the heap, yada, yada, yada. When really, we need an attitude change. Now, I remember a long time ago in Primerica, one of the things that everybody wants, and you see this in any network marketing, matter of fact, you see it in any position, any career. What happens is people say, well, when I get to that next position, I'm going to make more money. I'm going to be more successful. And one day I had one of my regional vice presidents look at me. I was just a sales leader, just getting started in the business. And he said, Troy, it doesn't matter what the compensation plan is in any company. If you can't make money at the bottom of the comp plan, you're never going to make money at the top of the comp plan. And I thought about that. Years later, as I watched one of my good friends, Atticus Killo, making more money in Zango at the bottom rung than some people made at the top, I realized how true that statement had become. See, it's not about where you're at in the comp plan. It's not about where your title is. It's about what you see your position as. And if you're out there as a server helping people, if you go like Carla did, sky is the limit. A year later, listen to this. Within a year, Carla was plucked off the teller line and placed in credit training. This had never happened in the history of the company. An attitude change. How can you be part of the team? The next story talks about carve out your niche by understanding what people need. This is about Donna, who works for a large construction company. She's responsible for entering data and distributing the reports. Donna wasn't sure of just how good her job was, but she started checking it out, and here's what she writes. Donna started asking questions, gathering feedback from her internal customers. Once she had a strong understanding of what people wanted and needed, she redesigned the reporting format and the frequency of several reports. She later was shocked to learn that one project manager had given up on the corporation reports and built his own. He would spend hours in the evening creating reports that he and his team needed. Soon, they were able to incorporate some of the work that he had already done into making the information more user-friendly and relevant. I thought, wow, now how cool is that? Listen to this. This was a motivating initiative for Donna. As she puts it, I love solving problems and improving processes. This was a real challenge, and it made a real difference. See, that's what the deal is. Both of these stories so far, they made a difference in what they were doing. Listen to this third story, and then we're going to get into some meat and potatoes that Dondi writes. Get on the team. That I was never over. I was so over my job, Sue admits. I felt there was nothing left to learn in my supervisory position. Here she is, a manager leading a team. In other parts of the company, exciting things were going on, new technology, growth, and leading-edge projects. but in my department it was business as usual. However, she went hunting, wanted to see what was happening. She soon discovered two projects that would directly impact her group, but they hadn't been included in the process. She invited herself by demonstrating how input from my unit might benefit the project. We became a resource to these projects, and suddenly, my team was on the team and working with people around the organization on exciting initiatives. Think about that. Now listen to what she writes. As Sue was telling her story, Dondi was wondering, how would this work for someone who isn't in a supervisory management position? Here's exactly what Sue had to say. Even though I'm a supervisor, I have a manager too. I had to make sure my efforts to connect with the other work teams were non-threatening to my boss. Now think about this as a network marketer for a second. Think about this as a direct salesperson who's on a team, but you see stuff going on other teams. If you feel like your team has hit a rut and there's no excitement, there's nothing really happening, and you see something going on in another team inside your company, I'm not talking about in another company, but inside your company. Hey, go to your team leader, go to your upline, go to your sponsor, and say, hey, I see some exciting things over here. I think we can use them on our team. Let's see if we can start, you know, being a part of this. I know I've got a friend of mine, Tim Douglas, who was with a company a while back, and he said, Troy, we didn't have any team support in Destin, so what we did was we teamed up with another company, another guy, crossline to us, and we built synergy, and then all the teams started. They were exploding because they were working together. See how these stories all talk about team? Sue goes on to say, I think sometimes we give up too soon. I can't make a difference because I'm not the boss. We often turn our bosses into our champions. Listen to me. If you want to make a difference in your organization, no matter where it's at or what it's doing, not only do you need to buy the book Career Moves, but you need to go buy John Maxwell's book, 360 Leader. You need to understand it's not the position, it's the person that makes the difference. See, one of the things that makes me very unique, I think, in the way God created me, is I have no desire to be the top dog in any organization. What I love to do is be able to find people with heart, come alongside them and build them up into the person that they need to become to lead the organization. That's just one of my gifts. I love that. That's a challenge. It's passionate to me. I love being able to be the one sitting in the crowd, watching the people go across stage and say, you know, I played one small role in that. John's book, 360 Leader, will show you how you can start out maybe as number two, number three, number four. And if you desire to be number one, it will show you how to make that. So reinventing the job you have requires a new way of thinking about what you do and the value you bring to the organization. If you're a brand new distributor, if you're a brand new salesperson, if you're middle manager, if you're working for British Petroleum and you're wondering, how can I make a difference for the people on the Gulf Coast, then bring around the team. Start working with the team. Dondi writes this, and I love it. Personal initiative and networking are also common themes in all three examples. All the stories involve reaching out, often across the boundaries and borders of an organization, to forge business relationships. Guys, that's powerful when you think about it. But now here's the kicker, and this is something most of us don't think of. Sometimes you have to take a step back to get ahead. Think about that. Sometimes you have to take a step back to get ahead. Dondi asked this question, when does it make sense to step back in your career? By that I mean starting over, taking a salary cut, or stepping down on an organizational chart. She talks about a lady named Tammy. Tammy made the move when she realized that being a manager wasn't a role she wanted to play. Tammy says, I always assumed that was the ultimate goal, she laughs. You work really hard to get promoted, then you manage people. That was the success model in her mind. But look what she learned. Tammy worked hard and she was promoted. As a manager, she was miserable I absolutely hated it, but I didn't know what to do about it. I thought there was something wrong with me. For 5 excruciating years, I worked in a job that didn't suit me at all. When I finally admitted to my boss how unhappy I was, she asked me to think about what I would like to do instead. What a concept. Think about that. Most bosses would look at you and say, then get the heck out. But she had a true leader, not just a manager. For Tammy, getting ahead wasn't about money or titles. Listen to this. It was about job satisfaction and fit. If you're in network marketing, listen to this radio show today. It's not about the comp plan. It's not about the company. It's not about the hype. It's not really about the product. What it's about is, are you happy? Are you a good fit for the company that you're in? Maybe you're in pharmaceutical sales and you love sales, but you don't like pharmacy. I mean, you know, the drug side. You'd rather be working for a health and nutrition company. Go out there today and start the process of finding the right fit. See, if you find something that's the right fit for you, fits your lifestyle, fits your purpose, is kicking your butt and saying, yes, I get up every day and I'm excited. You know what? The sky's the limit on where you can go. Gandhi goes on and says, stepping back might also make sense if you're trying to jump the track in your career. That is, when you want to move from one discipline to another or from one staff to the line. See, that's think about it. If you want to move from one, you're moving up, you're wanting to, sometimes you got to move back to move forward. You ever heard that phrase, 2 steps back, 1 step forward? You're still moving forward. See, that's good. Listen to what she found out, though. As she tells her story, she remembers the frustration. No one took me seriously. People reminded me that I didn't have sales experience, and at first I accepted that. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, you're not experienced at that. But listen to what she says. This is something every networker needs to understand. Then I realized selling is really about relationships and relationship service and negotiation. Good loan processors do all of that every single day. See, she'd been a loan processor, but now she wanted to get in the loan, the actual origination of the loans, the sales process. Folks, listen to me. I don't care if you sell information security, if you sell health and nutrition, if you work at a grocery store, if you work at a women's lingerie shop. I don't care what it is. Anything that has to do with sales has to do with building relationships, serving other people, and knowing how to negotiate to get to the close. And all a close is you're finally able to help somebody else, and they realize that. You fill a need in their life. This book, Career Moves by Dondi Scamanchi, How to Plan for Success, Create Values for Your Organization, and Make Yourself Indispensable No Matter Where You Work, is a book you should have. You should be writing in it. You should be drawing in it. You should be looking at this. You should be a member on her blog. You should be on her Facebook. I say this because of the impact that she's had in my life. I've studied these books. Every one of these books are written from a phenomenal female leader. And if that sounds sexist, it's supposed to be. Because too many times, the male species thinks they can't learn from a female. And I'm telling you, I have learned so much from Dondi over the last 9-10 months that we've been friends. It will blow your mind when you can start seeing from other people's perspectives on things. Then you start to be able to be a full-rounded leader. How, if you're a male on this phone, how in the Sam Hill are you going to lead a team that has females in it if you don't understand a little bit of what makes them tick? And I'm not talking about your wife and all that. I'm talking about understanding the needs and the desires of professional women when they're out there trying to build a career. Women, the same thing rings true for you. How are you going to know how to deal with the male species if you're not out there learning? You find leaders that are willing to be open and train you. And that's what Dondi is. She's a phenomenal. She doesn't just empower women. She empowers everyone that comes in contact with her. And that's what I love about this. But listen to this. This is great. Diane became a mortgage loan assistant for 6 months to gain the experience she needed to build her sales credibility. She stepped back in order to move forward. I thought this was great. Her deep knowledge of the loan process served her well, and as she quickly became the top producing loan officer, listen to what she writes. If you plan to jump the tracks, be prepared to talk about the skills you are bringing with you, she advises. Your experiences are not irrelevant. They give you unique insights and perspectives. Dondi writes, Diane stepped back temporarily in her career to prove herself in the role she wanted to play. Where do you want to go in your career path? What is it that you're trying to do? Give yourself permission. This, I tell you, Dondi's good. I wrote this on a 3x5 card. Give yourself permission to take a run at your opportunity. There's no such thing as being born on the wrong side of the tracks, being born with a tarnished, you know, brass spoon in your mouth instead of a silver spoon. There's no such thing as not having enough education. There's no such thing as having the wrong degree. It's all a matter of what do you want to do. Are you willing to give yourself permission to take a run at the opportunity? Maybe it's not in sales. Maybe you've got a, maybe you love wood turning, and you love making handcrafted items, pins or bowls or yo-yos, whatever. And you say, man, these everybody tell you they're so good. You give them away at Christmas. Maybe it's time you take it a step further. Maybe it's a time you give yourself permission to go out there and sell what you're so good at mastering and making. See, this is the key, guys. Maybe this is about a relationship. Maybe you're in love with someone. And for the last year, you've been wanting to ask them to marry you. Give yourself permission. Go for it. Maybe you want to have children, and you keep saying to yourself, we can't afford it. Let me tell you a little secret. I've raised 6 kids, and the process is still raising 3. Now I'm going to have 2 and maybe 3 grandkids. I've not had 1 child out of the 6 that we have had ourselves when we had the money to do it. But each time, our income has increased. We didn't have the money just to take on grandkids. God blessed us, and each time, He's fulfilled that. Wasn't because we sat on our butts doing nothing. Trust me, we got our actions out there. But we gave ourselves permission for the opportunity. Folks, this book is amazing. So get on your move. Forget about titles and job descriptions for a minute. Find a way this week. Now listen, you can do this. Find a way this week to increase your value by understanding your customers more, solving problems, or building new relationships at work. In other words, enlarge your peer group and your opportunity by growing your perspective. Listen, if you want to go out there and do it right, go join a B&I group in your area. Go join Toastmasters. Join the Chamber of Commerce. Go out there and look around at some of the association or peer groups inside of your own niche, your own profession. Join some associations. If you look at the last chapter, become the authority. Go out there and build your brand on the internet as the authority in your niche. That's all it takes, and you're on your way. One little thing. Let's get back to the story of Zoe and Elena. I think this will bring it into perspective these last few minutes on the call. The next morning, as Zoe poured herself her first cup of coffee, the phone rang. It was Allison, and Zoe tried to keep the relief out of her voice. She had wondered if the call would really come, and that made her realize just how much she was counting on this opportunity. Allison's voice was upbeat, but she came right to the point. Good morning, Zoe. I know it's very short notice, but are you available later this morning? The team is meeting to discuss a new account, and I thought this might be a great way to introduce you to the group and a potential opportunity. Zoe had managed to keep the relief out of her voice, but failed miserably, hiding her excitement. I'd love to meet your team. Wonderful, Allison laughed. The meeting starts at 10. I can email you the address with directions. Will that work for you? That works, Zoe said, looking at the clock and calculating how much time she needed to get ready. I'll be there. Thank you, Allison. When she arrived, Zoe was a little breathless, partly because she had rushed to be on time, but mostly because she was anxious about the meeting. She took a moment outside to collect herself and breathe before pushing the doors open. Not automatic, she thought. It takes a little effort to open a new door, and that's just fine with me. The lobby was small but beautifully decorated. Almost immediately, a young woman stepped into the room and greeted her warmly. "You must be Zoe," she said, extending her hand. "I'm Sarah. Allison is on the phone. She'll meet us in the conference room shortly. Come right this way." Gathering in the conference room was the most excited, colorful group Zoe had ever seen. They were absolutely striking, as she could literally feel the energy. Sarah introduced her to each member of the team, and Zoe made her way around the table to shake hands. She felt welcome here and was instantly at ease. Allison arrived then at the meeting, and the meeting was very quickly underway. Allison says, "I invited Zoe to join us this morning. She may be a good resource for the team." Allison took a deep breath before continuing. "And if we take on this account, we will need every good resource. We have a decision to make, and we need to make it quickly." No paralysis of analysis here. Listen to this. Zoe couldn't help but notice the word "if," and her heart sank three stories. If they decided not to pursue the account, she wouldn't be needed even temporarily. But she forced herself to focus. This is great. "I'm not going to make this decision for us," Allison informed the team. "I'm going to tell you what I know about the size of the opportunity and the size of the risk. This is something that we want very much, and it will cost us something." From there, Allison described the magnitude of the new account. "The client is larger than all of our other accounts combined. The opportunity is utterly amazing." Allison stopped and looked around the room. Each face was searching hers. "This client is very powerful and demanding. We have this opportunity because their current agency has been a disappointment. If we take this on, we will have to expand our capabilities. We will have to grow into this account. That means working hard, very hard, for the next few months. We also need to consider what could happen if we grow to accommodate the client, only to lose the account. This could be the best thing that ever happened, or it could be devastating." Now listen to this. Next, Allison gave everyone a folder. When the last one was placed in front of her, Zoe felt like a member of the team. This feeling was new to her and quite unexpected. She arrived as a visitor and was already experiencing a strong sense of belonging. This was unsettling because she didn't know what to do with that feeling. Did she even know how to be on a team? Was it possible she'd come this far in life and work without ever being on one? Most of us go through our careers, guys, as Lone Rangers. We're taught to protect our position. Don't offer information. You know, get out there and screw the other person before they screw you. Dog eat dog. Dondi's telling us right here in this story, we got to be part of a team. She's also telling us that when we bring new team members onto our team, there's a good possibility they don't understand the team mindset. You have to decide to be on the team. You have to decide how to treat other team players. John Maxwell's got two great books, 17 Irrefutable Laws of Teamwork, I think it is, and 17 Indispensable Laws of Being a Team Player. Might be a good time. See, no matter whether the project went on or not, what mattered was she was made to feel part of a team. Right in the middle of this conversation, she was asked, "Zoe, what do you think?" As a new person sitting in the room, not even a part of this company, they wanted to know what she thinks. The answer flew right out of her mouth. "I think you are some of the most talented people I've ever met. I also think that you trust each other, and Allison trusts you. And for good reason. If there is a team that can pull this off, it's probably this one. I know you'll make the right." That's powerful. Folks, today you've got the decision to make. Do you want to move forward or stay where you're at? The choice is yours. So, we're going to be on, tomorrow's Friday, we're going to be on Chapter 4, Bad Moves. How to point yourself into a corner, how to paint yourself into a corner, and other lessons learned the hard way. It's going to be great. Folks, join us tomorrow morning, Radio for Your Mind, and today, remember this, live life like it's an epic adventure. We'll see you at the top.